You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
I've had a terrible traumatic experience this morning.
All right.
It is for those of you who are slow risers, slow in the morning, this is kind of the worst nightmare. I got to the
studio. It sounded like you said flow rider.
Flow rider.
Like right. For those of you who are flow rider.
Slow risers.
If you're listening to the show, flow rider.
And if you are flow rider, now you have something to put into a rhyme, and you're welcome to use it in a song.
I'm sorry. So I'm stepping on your story. Your horrible, traumatic, slow rising story.
Yes. So I get to the studio, I'm feeling a little sluggish. I said, I'm going to brew myself a cup of coffee because I go to the studio to record the podcast because I've got small ones at home and you can't just make everybody be quiet. Like you have everybody in your house, they can just chill for an hour. It's not a big deal. But at my house, it's impossible.
I have teenagers. So yes. If we can record before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then they're still in bed. So it's not a problem.
Just point a screen at them and they'll be docile all day. I get to the studio. And I go, you know what? I'm going to make a fresh, hot pot of coffee. Normally, I bring it from home, and I was at the studio. I was like, I got a coffee maker here. I'll just make some coffee. So I portion it out. I get there, and then I take the pot, put it under the sink, lift the handle, nothing.
No water.
It goes...
right? Yeah.
And then, I'm at the studio, and I have no coffee.
Now you're really thirsty, too. The minute there's no water, whoo, boy, am I thirsty.
Yeah. It's just, when it's not there anymore. It's like, people are awful. And so I got two stories today about how awful people are. And so I texted Julie. I said, do we pay the water bill at the studio? And then she texts me back. She goes, we don't pay the water bill. It's included in our rent. And I go, oh, yeah, that's right. And so I texted the landlord. I said, hey, sorry to bother you on a Sunday. The water's off at the building. Is there something going on? She calls me back. She goes, well, is there anybody working? There's a lot of construction around the studio. And this is the part of the road we're on. And I walk out to the road and the return pipe, which for those of you who have commercial buildings, it's very often it's a U-shaped pipe. It's like an upside down U. It goes up and then back into the ground. And for some reason on my building, that U-shaped pipe is just out by the road, like for no reason, like out there next to the sidewalk.
Right.
And somebody had kicked it in and smashed it, and it's just spraying gallons of water all over the sidewalk. And so this whole building, due to this one little pipe that's stupidly sitting out by the road for some reason, completely unprotected. And by the way, it's not even metal, it's PVC.
Oh.
And now I've got no damn coffee because some jackhole wanted to do something cool and kick a pipe in because he was drunk or something. I'm just irritated. People are animals sometimes.
They are animals.
It's got me going. Now, I don't get coffee because of that person.
Yes, but
thanks.
When you were 17, I'll bet you did various things of vandalizing yourself.
Oh, dude, I once when I was 10, I knocked down pretty much every single mailbox on a street in my neighborhood.
Right?
Riding on my bike with a baseball bat.
What is wrong with people?
Mm. Wanting destruction. Boys want to destroy things, I think.
I think
that's
so.
Just how we're...
I do.
I think that's how we're wired. Did you ever destroy anything beautiful?
I can't think that I did a whole lot. We once went around and we stole every realtor sign we could find and stuck them all in the yard of a friend of ours.
Now that's great.
We did that.
That's not even just wanton destruction. Right. That's just, first of all, it's theft, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But you also added vandalism.
You go.
It had a point. The end point was that you were just trying to help your friend find a good realtor.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday, I had a family session on the beach, and they had two small kids, and a little girl, 5, little boy, 3. And so I'm doing the group, and then I'm like, okay, kids, come back here to me. So I can just take a picture of mom and dad. And I said, come back here to me. And I make them come over here and make mom and dad smile and laugh. You got to keep those kids occupied. And they come back there, and I'm on the ground. And the little girl just flops on my back and starts to run her fingers through my hair while she's laughing and talking and talking to her parents. Just like, I don't know, like I'm her uncle. Just flops on my back. And she is like deep massage scalping the back of my hair with her hands while I'm shooting. And then she's like, and she's just in there looking at my hair. And then she goes, ooh, look at that beautiful gray.
How old is this girl?
Like five. And I'm like, your mom and dad are paying extra.
Yeah, that's right in the heart.
Thanks a lot.
Gotcha. Yeah,
5 years old, she's like, ooh, look at all this gray.
Yeah, it's coming. It's the inevitable march of time.
Yes. Oh, I'm fine. Believe me, for my age, I can't complain about my hair situation at all. But I just thought
because at 54 to have all your hair.
I have a full head of hair, and
a full head of hair is pretty spectacular,
and still just a little salt and pepper action. So
yeah. So it's mostly natural
funny.
Color.
Yeah,
would you ever
funny.
Dye your hair?
Listen, I've thought about it, not for vanity reasons, but for in the photography wedding market. There aren't many old guys that shoot weddings, but part of the reason is I think that a lot of young people, when they go to look for a wedding photographer, if you're older, they think, oh, you know, dad, out of touch. You know, I don't know if that's true, but I feel like it might be true. I know a videographer who dyes his hair black because he says that he feels he can't get jobs if he lets it go gray.
Yeah, it's probably a combination of factors having to do with, I think that after most people, when they've been in the wedding business for a certain number of years, they start looking to get out of it.
Well, yeah, because it beats the hell out of you.
I think wedding photography has got to be, for time spent, the lowest return on investment in the business. It really, like, even if you're doing everything well, even if you're a $5,000 a clip portrait photographer, you're making more money than a $10,000 a clip wedding photographer.
Yeah, probably. Like, yeah,
because it's just so many hours go into it for the most part, and that's I don't know. I didn't do
the math.
The upside
of weddings is that if you're a $5,000 clip portrait photographer, you probably have quite a bit of overhead that a wedding photographer doesn't have. Because if you're a $5,000 clip wedding photographer, I mean a portrait photographer, you are probably going to have to work out of a studio in order to justify that cost. You're going to have to provide framed portraits. You're going to have to provide canvases. You're going to have to, so you reach that $5,000, $10,000 sale through a lot of merchandise that is costly, not to mention customer service, not to mention having a very nice location that they come to, because people don't give you $10,000 when you're working out of your garage. And so, you know, there's that goes along with it. Whereas if you're a wedding photographer, your overhead is bupkis. I mean, gear, but you're delivering files. You're getting paid for time.
Well, I mean, you can do albums and you can do prints.
Right.
Which brings me to one of our listener questions this week, actually. We had Jeremy Lawson writes in, do you place much emphasis on printing? I assume most of your work is online. Do you blokes ever print as a, quote, fine art personal angle? Do you print?
A fine art personal angle, like just buy this thing and put it on your wall. It's none of your family. It's just a picture.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe creating individualized fine art stuff or monetizing your artwork, I'm not really sure. But
I do it for myself. Like the office that I'm sitting in right now is full of pictures of street photography and stuff like that I do. I do it for myself. I see some of my own images as art, but I have never tried to monetize it, no.
Yeah, well, most of the stuff that we print, because obviously I'm in the headshot game for the most part in commercial portraiture, almost everything we do, with the exception of a few jobs a year, is digital. But I do print stuff of our family, and we're doing more of that. And I have thought about having a signature series in our portrait work for people who want something like that, you know? And so it would be a lengthier session with a little more planning, and it would include one fine art print that I choose. It's mine. Like, if you want it, you're going to get what I give you.
Right.
I thought,
right.
Like, I don't care. People, if they don't buy it, I'm not blown away by it. But if somebody comes in and they want me to do something really thoughtful and artistic of them, I'm just going to say, I'm going to pick the image out of it and give it. You can obviously probably get digital files as well, but if you want the fine, it comes with a fine art print that I pick and retouch and print however I want and then give it to you.
Okay.
But that's kind of, I've kind of fantasized about that and toyed around with that idea a little bit. But we do a lot of printing in our sports, so we have some sports teams that we do, which I definitely want to talk about this week, we did our first job using Photo Day. And have I told you about Photo Day?
Yeah, you did. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but I know you and I talked about it, that it's a process for uploading the images, and it uses facial recognition, right?
Yes. So this is Photo Day. This is the new stuff. And they are very new. And overall, their feature set, I think, It's got some impressive stuff with it, but it really needs some work to sort of up its game. There's a lot of stuff it doesn't do that I wish it did. But overall, we shot our volleyball club, and I used, I told you about the 8-foot by 8-foot butterfly scrim that I used for the light source. So the lighting turned out great, and then we got sorted through the pictures. With photo day, you essentially, you don't have to do anything for capture and sorting if you don't want to. You can, you know, we shot the teams, and we just put the team information in the photos, and then you just upload them, and then the parents get a text alert. It's all built into text. So to sign up for to get the text alerts, all they have to do is text whatever code you designate. So let's say it's you text volleyball to a certain number, and then it texts them back and goes, great, you're signed up. We'll let you know when the pictures go online.
Hmm.
And that's that. And then they
like
get
that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So all they do, there's no order forms, no paper. Parent shows up on picture day, and all they have to do, you put up signs that say text this, boom, and they're signed up. And then they go in and they order everything from their phone. We uploaded them by team, so they can go to the team that their kid's on and find their kid. But you could also, they can upload a photo of their kid that's on their phone, and it will use facial recognition to find the photos of their kid, which is actually really, really cool. So it's got some neat applications, but basically, I was concerned that we're going to use this whole thing, and without the pre-order forms and all this stuff, that our sales are going to drop substantially because we're doing it differently.
Right.
We're pretty much right on par for sales. Not only that, because it continues to text them to remind them about it and stuff like that. So it's a really cool system. So we're right up there that we were before with sales, and we've cut the amount of time rather than going back, sorting through the photos, and then sorting through all the forms and lining them up with our volume ordering system and then uploading that, and then all the envelopes come back to us, and then we have to sort and hand check all the files. Everything is shipped directly to the parents, directly to their house, and we don't touch any prints. We do nothing. And once we upload the photos to the gallery, we're done, we walk away. And I was done a couple hours after we finished the job. I had everything sorted. And so, and we're making about slightly less, but our time spent on the job is cut by 30 to 40%.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And so, I mean, it is a phenomenal system, and it's gonna get better, I'm sure. But they're very new. It doesn't have a fully fleshed out feature set, but for what we're doing, it's totally great and love it. So I would totally, totally recommend people check that out. It's so simple. It's stupid how simple it is. It's really, really easy.
I also had an experience with some software that was new to me in this same vein because I shot a school recently, and I'd never actually shot a school. I'd done groups, sure, dance and stuff like that, but not an actual school. It's a very small school, special needs, and only 49 students, and it was a last-minute call. They called me on Wednesday. The photographer had dropped out. Can you come in and please do this for us on Thursday? Which is when the headshot kit that I keep in my truck was very useful. I was like, absolutely. And I didn't have to run and put together all my stuff. I was like, okay, sure. Everything was already put together. I'm sure. I can go anywhere on a minute's notice. So I'm using Miller's because I'm a Miller's guy. And so they have a specific thing just for schools. Now, I knew they had a specific thing for sports and events because I've used that before. But then they have another specific thing just for schools. And I was like, I don't know why. Well, I soon found out. There's specific things just for schools. The pricing is drastically cut over everything else. I mean, their sports and events is cheaper, but their school stuff is competitive with everybody else that I've seen. So, and Miller's is not known for being the cheapest lab, but their school stuff, absolutely competitive with everybody else. But the software, wow. I was, wow. Filling the orders, it's so easy, tracks everything for you. But the thing that I didn't use that I thought was so great was their software will tether. So you can tether straight into their software on a laptop.
That's cool.
And then
that's
every time, cool. And as you take a picture, you've got someone on your laptop, as you're taking pictures, they're putting in the kid's information right there on that, on every picture that gets put on the pictures as they go into your system. So then when you print and order, all the information on every kid is there. You can have that printed on the packages if you want. Every order comes pre-packaged. You can't even get the pictures that aren't packaged. They deliver everything packaged. They can ship directly to the client if you want to. It's never, with stuff like this and the stuff like you're using, it's never been easier to be a school photographer.
Yeah, I mean, it's the technology is so there now, and it was super, super easy. Yeah, I dig it. It's great income, but the problem was for me is that the customer service gets to be such a drag. Like with the volleyball photos, once we started, we would be, with the sports photos we've done, it would be 2 or 3 weeks at least dealing with clients that they finally get around to it and, you know, whatever, or they get the photo delivered and it's not the one that they ordered, or the wrong kid, which doesn't happen a ton, but you basically deal with the bulk of the time spent on the job is the customer service, dealing with that after.
Yeah, and it's customer service for people who are giving you $45 before expenses. Before you take the taxes out, and before you take the cost of the printing out, and you got to go. Yeah. And it's like, now I've got to make a call to Ms. Johnson to help her figure out how to use the website, and I'm going to make $30 off Ms. Johnson.
Right, exactly, or less. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, that makes it tougher. But I forgot what I was going to say.
You were saying it was easy to be a volume photographer.
Yeah, it was easy to be a. Yeah, but you're right. The customer service side of it. Oh yeah, this particular job is tough because they love me. Like, you know, they're a newer school, and I guess they've had just moms with cameras or whatever doing it the last year or so since they started. And then I came in and gave them, I mean, I think you saw some of them. They're just incredible. Fantastic pictures I did for these kids. And they're just
the best I've ever seen.
And they were just blown away. They were just like, the kids love them and these are amazing, but I'm not getting the sales. Because we didn't do pre-order because we couldn't, because I was last minute, right? So it's 49 kids. I've got 13 orders. And it's been like almost 3 weeks.
Well, at something like that, a school, I would bet that your sales on the high end would be 50% would probably be good.
Well, here's the thing is, I mean, I got paid for the job because when they called me and said, we want you to come in tomorrow and do it, I quoted it out like a headshot job. I just said, this is a headshot job.
You don't want to go out there not having the run up in
right.
the pre-sale.
I said, you know what? It's a headshot job. If you ask me to come shoot, you asked me to come shoot 49 employees. That's what I'm going to treat it as. So I quoted them that, and I came in and just I got paid. And then afterwards, they were like, can you sell them to the parents? And I said, sure, I'll put them online so the parents can buy them too. And they said, can we get a piece of that? And I said, absolutely, I'll give you half. Normally, you wouldn't give a school half. But again, I got paid in advance for this job. So I'm all for everything else I make now is gravy. And I would love it if they could get their money back and come out. And again, special needs school, I want to help them out. But they're not. And that's terrible. I really want them to. I want this to be successful for them. But despite that, they are still all over me. Like, we really want you to do everything from now on because you're so great. And I'm in this position where I'm going, I want to.
Please, there's enough of Blu-ray to go around.
Yeah, but that's not the problem. The problem is how to make it profitable.
Yeah, with that small of a thing, it's hard. Like, if you're Life Touch, you can afford to take a school that's not super profitable, something small like that, because of just you've got everything else in the area.
Right.
You know? But if it's for an individual operator to go out on a 49, person school and monetize that by selling it. If you've got $50 packages and you sell them to 50% of the parents, and that would be on the high end of what you would get. $50 a head is a lot for volume photography. So to get $50 out of half the kids, so let's say 25 people, that's not worth it. I don't know what, I'm not good at math, but that's not a lot of money for the amount of effort that you
It's $1,200.
$1,200 is...
And then you have to back the sales tax out of that.
And pay your kickback to the school and print the print.
And when it's all said and done, you make like $900, $800 maybe.
And not to mention all of the time you spend supporting it and shooting it.
Right.
And
now, don't get me wrong. Now, for a small school to make $900, $800 where literally I would be there 2 hours and that would be it, shooting it. And I was only going to make $900. Sure, that's a deal. It's the sales after. It's the customer service side that you're talking about. The printing and delivering. That's when it starts to become not worth your while. But to go in and do 2 hours worth of headshots and make $900, while that might be less than I would charge for a headshot job like that, here's the other side. I was talking to somebody who has several small schools, and he said, here's the thing on those schools. I don't do them. I don't think of them as a big money making opportunity. They are just a lead in to the parents. He goes, the small private schools are just a way for me to get a lead in to their parents so I can book the senior session, so I can book the family session. Yeah, if you're doing small private schools with 50, 60 kids where the parents are paying $25,000 a year and high end, great. This isn't a school like that. These kids are there not because their parents have money, it's not even a big lead generator for me. So, I'm going to do what I can. One of the advantages is it's literally 5 minutes from my house. Mm. So I'm like, I'm going to do what I can to help them out and try and figure out a way to do it for them because I'm a softie, I guess.
You're a real humanitarian, aren't you? You just are. You're a humanitarian.
Well,
so we had some other people write in.
Maybe I make that my charity.
Yeah. Why not?
You know?
That's a nice idea. Just don't do it too much because you'll charity yourself into poverty.
Exactly. But maybe I'll just consider that, okay, this is going to be my charity giving is going to be this school. The fact that I don't really make much money off of it, but I still do it for them. That'll be my thing.
Yes, it's good karma, buddy. I think that'd be a good thing. So Justin wrote in with topic suggestions. He wants to talk about the Florida Greyhounds, like the dog racing being banned.
Oh my God, that's hilarious! Because we just spent an hour talking about that, me and my wife.
Did you really?
Yes.
Yeah. Because for those of you listening that are not in Florida, we have now just voted to ban dog track racing, which I am completely ambivalent about. I really don't even know about that. It seems like they're treated all right. I don't know about the mistreatment of greyhounds or all.
I have information for it.
All right, so go for it for Justin.
First of all, I used to love going to the dog track. I used to go all the time in the 80s when I lived here. I loved going to the dog track. Don't go so much anymore, unless it's to play poker. And then my wife went to Epcot for the wine and cheese festival or whatever it is a couple of weeks ago, and actually her and her friend sat next to a guy who was very involved in this initiative.
Okay.
And began spouting the numbers off. And she came home and was like, we're voting to get rid of the Greyhound racing. And I was like, well, I was going to vote against it. I was going to vote to get rid of it anyway. And she said, no, he was giving me numbers. And apparently the numbers that they get, there's something like 3 dogs a day euthanized for injury and stuff like that. So that's just the beginning of what's bad about it. And then these dogs are crate trained and they spend 23 hours a day inside of a box. And these are animals that are fastest running dogs in the world, and they spend their entire lives inside a box, and so it's not humanitarian for animals.
Inhumane.
It's inhumane for the dogs. So we voted against it. Now that brings us to the next step, which is we are now in Florida going to have a huge glut of greyhounds that need to be adopted. And at breakfast, my wife was like, I can't stop thinking about
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I've been the guy who's been shutting down the whole dog talk for a while.
Oh, no.
I'm the bad guy. And I'm like, listen, we're going out of town next week. Who's going to watch there's so much stuff that comes with it. And I've had plenty of dogs in my life. I've had plenty of dogs in my life, and I love them. But, we're at a point with our go and go and go that it's just not a good idea. But she still can't stop thinking about it, and she's been researching it. And finally today, I was like, you know what? I'm tired of playing the bad guy. You and the girls... You're in that great position where you can just be all pro dog because daddy will stop you. So I'm not going to stop you anymore. If you want a dog, get a dog, but it's on y'all. So, you've got
interesting. Yeah.
Now you've got to be the ones who stop yourself. Because that's what it is. You get to a point where you've decided, oh, that person's going to be the heavy. So I can just, that frees me up just to be the nice guy. I just want a dog because I know you'll stop me. I don't have to actually stop myself. I don't have to think about the bad stuff. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to be that guy. You want a dog, get a dog. So I don't know. There's a good chance. Don't keep quiet because, if we do it, it'll be a surprise. But I don't know.
Don't worry. Your kids don't listen to the show.
Well, yeah, but my daughter's on the other side of the wall here.
Well, I remember at one point I did look into it because when I had a dog years ago and I looked into greyhound adoption, and it's a more difficult process than just getting a dog. Like you actually, they have your home inspected because they're very different dogs to take care of than other dogs.
Oh, really? Because from what I've heard, they're just wonderful. And I had a friend of mine that was a personal trainer. He had 2 of them, and they were just wonderful.
Well, no, not that they're bad dogs. It's that they're different kinds of dogs. The way that they're bred, so you have like scent hounds and you have sight hounds. And so the scent hounds are dogs that rely mostly on their sense of smell to make sort of decisions and things like that. And your sight hounds are basically, with a greyhound, if it sees, they're trained, if it sees something moving, it's after it. And here's the thing, they can get a mile away from you in about, in about a minute.
Right.
Then they're lost. They're gone. They're really easy to lose because they're very easily, they're trained to follow the rabbit or whatever the heck
right.
it is that they're
chasing. Right. And that's what I would think would be a problem.
Well, it is. You just have to know the certain ways to take care of greyhounds because of the special way that they're bred and their special needs is like, you cannot, under any circumstances, let a greyhound off a leash out in public.
Right.
Because it can be gone. Unless it's in a fenced in area, it can get further away than it can get back and get lost very, very easily. So you have to, I believe, last time I checked, you have to have your house inspected through greyhound adoption. and they come and they make sure that you have the right facilities and that you understand how to care for a greyhound.
See, and so our backyard fence is half height.
Oh, yeah. Greyhound would jump right the hell over
That's
that.
What I figure. Right? So there you go.
So new dog means new fence.
No,
so
that's not happening.
That.
No.
Yeah.
It's vinyl. Yeah, white vinyl fencing. Phew. Not to mention it cuts off the view of the lake. No.
Yeah, no thanks. Or you could just put chain link fence up instead. So, you know, that would look good.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Yeah, the Homeowners Association would love that.
Blu-ray is the new black.
That's a valid point, though. That's a valid point, though. I hadn't thought about the sight training part. So, yeah, we'll have to look into it.
Yeah, yeah. They do require special care, but they're fantastic dogs from everything I've heard and researched about it. They make great pets. They're great with kids. It's just that they can... You know, they do have special needs. So that is something to consider. I wouldn't mind having one, but, you know, my wife hates animals, like hates them. Like,
she's, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your wife's a saint.
I know, but she's
a wonderful,
why does
warm,
she hate
loving,
animals?
Beautiful person.
Seriously, if there was like a puppy starving on the street, she would probably just walk, step right over
really?
It and keep going.
Well, not I have joke. To reevaluate Julie now.
That's yeah, I'm not kidding. Yeah,
wow.
she just animals just you know that thing when you see like a cute animal and it makes you feel that way inside? Whatever that emotion response is, she doesn't have.
Doesn't exist for her.
Nope. She's completely like animals are just, you know, white noise to her. Like
wow.
She's just not interested. Can't like if you could imagine a scene like in a Disney movie where all the animals come in to help Snow White clean and get dressed.
Right.
Julie would be like stomping on them and chasing them with brooms to get out of the house. She's nega Snow White. She's anti Snow White. Yeah, she does not like animals at all.
Wow.
At all. So there's zero chance that we're gonna get a pet of any kind. Like she would probably punt, you know, those plastic balls that you put gerbils in.
Right.
She'd probably punt a gerbil into the sun. She doesn't care.
So what you're saying is that Julie does not break for the moose.
She does not break for the moose. No. She would gun it. She would see a moose and she would just lay into the gas. Bumper be damned. She's, you know, yeah. She's not a fan of the natural world, as it were.
All right. I mean, all right. Well, this is I'm enlightened
world,
today. This is a side of Julie I wasn't aware of.
I walked out in front of my house yesterday, and I was getting in the car, and Ellie, my three, almost four-year-old, runs out, bursts out of the front door. Daddy, 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 you forgot your hug. And it's the sweetest moment, right? Like, running into my arms. And all of a sudden, a big white-brown blur in my left field of vision, and I looked over, and there was a giant-ass osprey, a big hawk, like a falcon, just sitting on the fence in my front yard, and this is a three-foot-high fence, and it's an arm's length away from me, and it's, like, got the curved, pointy beak and the talons and the... Ah!
Big, nasty teeth.
And the great, nasty, sharp,
rabbit.
Pointy teeth. Yeah, death awaits you all. And my three-year-old's running at me. Daddy doesn't see the hawk. I could smack the hawk with the back of my hand, and my thought was, you have to protect your daughter from the hawk.
Right.
So I dove over her and put my body between the hawk and her and carried her back inside. Daddy, what? I said, there's a hawk. Anyway, there's a hawk.
The parent instinct kicks in. It's crazy. Yeah. It's weird when it does, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. The hawk was just sitting there and was very sort of,
yeah, like,
you know,
what's your
I think I startled it more than it startled me. Because he was just hanging out there enjoying the morning, and here I come, and I'm making all the noise.
Right.
You know, and I'm the one, you know. And then it just hops down to the ground on the other side of the fence into my neighbor's yard and just starts walking around. I've never seen a bird of prey like that within arm's distance. I mean, people go out and they stalk nature with 600-millimeter lenses
right.
to get pictures of birds like this, and there's one just sitting on the ground next to me in the yard just hanging out. Like, why is this guy freaking out? What's his problem? You know? So I saved my daughter's life from a hawk, is what I'm saying. An osprey? I think it was an osprey. I don't know. I was too busy running and screaming, holding my daughter, defending her bodily from the danger of wild nature danger. There you have it. Hey, one more thing I wanted to cover is so this volleyball club we shot. I was telling you about how we use Photo Day. I've also started to lean a little bit batch with Portrait Professional. You're familiar with the software, right?
Yes, like, yes. I've tried it before, and my experience with it has been that
It makes everybody look like a demented clown?
Well, not so much that, but rather that what it does, it doesn't do what it does any faster than I can do it myself. If I was someone who absolutely didn't even own Photoshop or know how to use Photoshop, then I could see how it might would be helpful. But it's like, for me, it was always, okay, like you start it and then you've got to still go in and adjust it and tell it to do this and tell it, oh, and this is, make sure this is right and this is right. And by the time I do all that, I could have just done the face smoothing and you know, an eye brightening. I could have done all that myself.
I agree 100%. Yeah. However, I have found a very good use for this in volume because you can buy a version of Portrait Professional called Portrait Pro Studio Max.
Okay.
And I bought this on a Black Friday sale, and that's coming up, and they usually have a great sale where it's like 75% off because it's just $300 for the Studio Max version. The main difference between Portrait Professional and Portrait Pro Studio Max is that Portrait Pro Studio Max will batch retouch. So you can point it at a folder with 100 images in it, and it will retouch them all in a batch according to whatever settings that you set. Like, you can go in and you can tweak all the settings. Now, mostly it's really good at making people look like demented clowns with too much makeup on, because it adds makeup, you can put catch lights in, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff with it. But I have it set just to do a little bit of skin smoothing, lightening the dark circles under the eyes, and reducing the shine on the face. Just three quick settings. And also, I add a very dim but present catch light into the eyes. And so it just brightens up the catch lights a little bit. So it's good. So
don't you already have a catch light? Does it take the present catch light and magnify it, or does it put a second one in?
It'll put one in, and you can place it wherever you want in the eye. You can increase the size and the opacity of it. I'll basically take a similar catch light to the one that exists, and then just to make sure, and it'll kind of put it right over top of the existing catch light, just to brighten it up a little bit. I think that adds a little bit of presence to the photo. I don't do it a lot, but in this case, for volume photography, I was just like, well, let's up our game and offer this service, because rather than having to deal with parents contacting us and doing all these retouching orders for like $4 a piece or whatever, it's like, let's just run this on all these volleyball photos and then upload, you know, lightly retouched photos. So I pointed it at the folder, and there are boys and girls in this club, so it will detect whether it's a masculine or feminine or male or female, however you said it. And it did a fan-freaking-tastic job on 400 photos. Like, okay. I could not believe it. And I'm thinking I might start to use this on headshot jobs or, like, corporate stuff. And it takes about maybe a minute and a half, depending on your processing power, to retouch an image. So you can point it at 100 images, and in, you know, an hour, 90 minutes, maybe less, you could have. I retouched 400 photos, 380 photos in 90 minutes. It retouched 380 photos in 90 minutes. Like, that's spectacular.
I'd like to see some before and afters, you know, because like that school that I did, I sent all of those pictures off to retouch up and had them do a retouch on all of them for me, because I didn't want to have to retouch 49 images. So right. I spent $150 on that. And if I could have done that myself and had it be just as good for a, you know, $75 program, if it's Black Friday, then yeah. It's going to be worth
that's
it.
That's what I mean. I spend hundreds of dollars a month on retouchup.com because for my volume jobs. And it costs me $2.50 for a retouch. And
right.
I've used this company for a long time. I'm not anti them. But there are cases when, you know, I want to be able to even offer it same day delivery retouched. And except in cases where there's like pretty bad acne, which it doesn't. You still have to gonna go in. It'll smooth it out a little bit and lessen it. But unless somebody's got really bad acne, and noticeable, this does a bang-up job to do a very light natural retouch, and I was really, really impressed by it. And I'll post it before and after. I won't post it before and after because all the girls that I photographed are under 18, so the kids from the club. So maybe I'll do a before and after on some other images that I can post in the
group. What I would like to see is three. I'd like to see four pictures. I'd like to see the straight out of camera, or at least deliverable without retouching. Mm-hmm. You retouch it. Retouches it, and the program retouches it. I'd like to see those four pictures side by side. That would be that would be really, now you can really pick it, just to be fun to see.
That would make a good YouTube video.
Yeah, it would. It would. There you go.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we'll post something like that into the group. That's a really good idea. But I was pretty impressed with it. I thought to be able to offer that as an upsell to clients,
sure.
To be able
yeah.
to, you know.
Oh, it definitely got a great potential for you.
Yeah, it really does. So the software's gotten a lot better. It can definitely go overboard, but just to do light settings, to be able to offer that and say, we can also deliver all these images with the light natural retouch on site, and that, I mean, that could really put it over the top, and you can even monetize it. And its potential is, it does, in most cases, a pretty similar job from what I've seen to what I get back from RetouchUp, with the exception of some of the more prominent, you know, like marks and acne and stuff like that. But for the most part, it does a pretty bang up job on most people, and I think that it's going to be worth looking into and might save me, you know, hundreds of dollars a year. So I'm looking forward to testing that out more. So, just got some questions. I guess we're going to be coming into the end of this fantastic episode, right? We're going to wrap this up.
Okay. All right.
We got Darlene writes in, do you suggest using sites like Model Mayhem to find models for styled bridal shoots? I'm having a hard time finding actual couples, and I don't want to post casting calls all the time on my social media accounts. I feel it makes me look bad, or maybe it's just me overthinking and caring too much about what others think. Curious to know your thoughts and if you have any tips to finding couples or models for these types of styled sessions. What do you think?
I'm not a huge fan of the style sessions. I understand that they're marketing, and I get that. I've never done one because I've just never done one. You know, you get asked to do them, and I always feel like it's like, oh, okay, so I'm going to get some pictures that I can use, I guess, for marketing. But everyone else is really going to get marketing material out of me. You know,
right?
The people doing the decorations, the planner, the catering, the hotel—they're all going to get a huge, huge bonus out of having me shoot this style setting for them. And all I get is some more wedding pictures. You know, and
you're not going to put it on your website because you're not going to put styled shoots,
right? But yeah, because I won't put style stuff on my website. No,
because so, it's nothing to do with a wedding, really.
But you know, I have a pushback against that anyway. I have a you know, I'm a for the people. I'm the people, Gary. I defend the peoples. And I get annoyed at the constant style shootings and the constant models. And I had a note for something I was going to talk about this week on the podcast, which feeds right into this. I was reading an article yesterday called 7 Reasons Why Flash Portraits Are Better Than Natural Light.
Let me weigh in on Darlene here real quick.
Every single one of those pictures is a beautiful model. Every picture that they use to demonstrate it is a beautiful model. And I've heard a lot of stories too with getting models where, oh, the model didn't show up or I've just never wanted to weigh in. So yes,
I tell you what I do a lot.
I'm with you. I don't know where to get your models if you don't.
I've done this. I do this a lot. As a matter of fact, first of all, I would use Facebook more rather than Model Mayhem. Model Mayhem. I'm not really sure. To me, it's sort of like, you know, that bad neighborhood in your nice town with the really skeezy ass convenience store. You know, that's always got like a diaper in the parking lot. Well, that's Model Mayhem. Like, it's just gross, and it's gotten worse over the years.
The diaper in the parking lot. See, this is the genius of you, Gary. That's a perfect analogy. And you always like to say that I don't laugh at you. But that's the story that I love. The diaper in the parking lot is perfectly sums up exactly the neighborhood you're talking about.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now you got it. It used to be a Cumberland Farms, but it's no longer
a diaper in the parking lot.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks. There are lots and lots and lots of Facebook groups for models and actors, and I am in a bunch in several different cities. And one of the things that we do is I put in when I'm doing a shoot that's a personal project or a casting call, I pay the models, but I don't pay a lot. I usually offer if they want to use them after I'm done using them for marketing. And $50, and I pay $50. So I had I did a shoot because I'm creating a marketing piece around medical headshots because we have 3 different medical schools in my area, and the doctors that are graduating often need a headshot for their residency applications, and so that's something that we're going to start marketing towards. So I brought in 5 actors. I paid them $50 each. They came in for like 15 or 20 minutes, And I did the shoot with them, and then I even bought, like, stethoscopes and lab coats, and I did the whole thing to create all these images that I don't have, and that's it. I had a great response. Like, if I'm willing to pay them, I get great models. Everybody showed up. Everybody came prepared and ready to go. They did everything that I asked them to do, and everything was professional and above board, and I found those people in Facebook groups for actors and models. The second thing I would suggest is find talent agencies in your area, because they very often will have talent that need photos, and they will. And if you're looking to get somebody to do a trade for pictures, a great place to start is, and it you could end up developing a really good relationship with a modeling agency or a talent agency. So there are lots and lots of them around. Even if you live in an area where you don't think you have some, you there's always some kind of talent agency around or nearby that you should be able to tap into.
That's a great idea. Yeah. If you're a model and you need headshots, I'll do your headshots for free in return. Put on this stethoscope and let me use you for this thing I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would even work in most of the time. And I don't know if you know
or in this case, but with a wedding, which, you know, go down to a reassignment shop or David's Bridal, spend $100 on a dress. See, that's the thing, though. I mean, when people are doing this, and I guarantee you, if you're having to do style shoots, if you're wanting to do style shoots, you're not in a position where you've got $300 to spend on models and dresses. That's
well,
the problem.
Usually you don't have to spend money on dresses. Here's the thing. If you've got a real couple, chances are it won't be hard to find somebody who has their wedding dress.
That's another thing. If you've shot weddings, if you've had a good-looking bride in the past, you'd be surprised. You contact her, she might be like, yeah, I'll put my dress on and come back out. It would be fun. You'd be surprised.
I know Julie's done it. She's put her dress on two or three times for photo shoots over the years.
Okay.
It's not that hard. Just got to get a little creative, and you can find people a lot more easily. Just looking at questions. Questions. Okay, we talked about the Greyhounds, Justin. We talked about the printing. We talked about. So we got the wildfires in California.
Right? Yeah,
that's crazy. That's another suggestion from Jimmy. Wants to talk about the fires. So, man, I hope everybody's okay. Death toll is rising. Fire is spread. That started as a campfire. I read. Is that true?
That's what I heard. And then also, like, what was it the other day? Charlie Sheen put a thing out on Twitter. He didn't know where his parents were.
Oh man!
And they found Martin, and some news guy found Martin Sheen and his wife in a parking lot somewhere, and put him on camera. He's like, "Yeah, we're fine, everybody. We're fine. We're probably going to sleep in the car tonight." Martin Sheen sleeping
Mr.
in his
President.
Car, Mr. President sleeping in his car. Yeah,
yeah, that's wild. I can't imagine. We deal with hurricanes and tornadoes and flooding and stuff, but the fires just terrify me. You know, I think that's awful. But anyway,
well, you know, according to the president, it's poor forest management. I don't know if you know.
It's
poor forest management.
I read it. And it's all over the news, but just bad timing.
Gary. It's nothing to do with global warming. I could listen to the scientists or I could listen to this real estate guy. I'm going to go with the real estate guy's opinion that it's poor forest management.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I'm with that. All right, then. I wanted to talk about something else real quick. Coming up, if you aren't already planning to go, you should plan to go to Imaging USA in Hotlanta,
yes,
2019, January, because the world-famous photographer...
Do we have to do this every week? Because right now, they are turning off the podcast in droves.
You're being rude. You're being rude to me. You're interrupting
All right.
me. Please.
All right.
Let me continue. As I was saying, before I was interrupted. All right. The world-famous Boo Ray Perry will be giving a class called... Something, something, fast glass, something, but whatever it is.
Don't want to interrupt that.
Something, something, fast glass. I don't know. It's good. Look, it's Blu-ray. It's going to be great.
Flashes, files, and fast glass.
And I just got my issue of Professional Photographer Magazine, and they give away in the magazine a 3-day expo pass. So you can go to the trade show for free if you want, if you're in or around that area. But on the Monday morning at 8 a.m., I will be introducing to the stage my favorite presenter in the photo industry, the world-famous Boo Ray Perry, to a standing room-only audience of his ravenous fans, just dying to hear that buttery golden voice and hear those beautifully crafted jokes.
There's no jokes.
Yeah, no.
No.
That would be terrible.
Come prepared to learn. This is a you're going to learn.
Make sure that you're there. It's going to be awesome, and Imaging USA is awesome, and we hope to see you guys there.
It's gonna be
big. If you haven't already, I know the hotels are getting pretty close to those room blocks being sold out, and so if you want to stay in one of those host hotels, which, I mean, Julie and I, when we would go to Imaging USA when we first started our business, we would stay in like the Microtel 6 miles away and then walk 6 miles to the convention because we were trying to save money because we didn't have, our business was new. But if, I mean, seriously,
it's
get a roommate. It's not, stay in the host hotel, get a roommate, just come and enjoy it. Because if you're not in the, you'll be leaving early to, when everything starts to get really fun, you're going to be the, half the one that leaves early. You're going to have to get up extra early every morning, even though you're hungover, if you want to make it to a class on time, because you got to walk 8 miles.
But the most important reason is, when you need to take a dump, you can go to your room. That's the number one, that's the most important reason. You can take a break from everything, go to your room, have a nice quiet time by yourself there, clean up,
brush your teeth. I can't think of anything more important than that.
That's the number one reason to stay in the host hotel.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel. And,
And that is a sampling of what Bure Perry has to offer in his program.
Yeah, there you go. That's one of the mini tips. We're going to give you that one for free. I got my packet, also, by the way. I got my packet for the awards and degree ceremony. And let me just say, for what comes down to you walking across the stage, they hang a thing around your neck, and then you walk off, there is approximately 18 hours of preparation that you have to go through before you can actually do that thing.
And you got to go for the group photo.
You got to pick up your packet on one day. Then the second day, then there's an orientation webinar. You pick up your packet. You have to go to the rehearsal. You have to have your picture taken with this person. You have to have the group picture taken. That's mandatory. You have to go to the thing. There's a cocktail party thing that's like an hour long. The amount of stuff you have to go through so that you can walk across that stage with your little 30 seconds of fame is crazy. It's crazy.
I'd be surprised if it was even 30 seconds.
Yeah, right. Like maybe 15 seconds.
By the way,
but I get it. I mean, I get it. You're corralling a bunch of cats, and so you've got to, you've got to get. It's not going to go well if you don't do that. So I understand it, but I'm not annoyed by it. It's just wow.
I am so glad you brought that up because Bure Perry will be receiving his Master Photographer degree at the Imaging USA Award and Degree Ceremony. And so come join me, sit with me in the audience in the Believers section so that we can, when he receives his award, we can shout a cry like the heathen kings of old up to the sky for future generations to know that Bure Perry has earned his Master Photographer degree from the Professional Photographers of America. And I want the scream to be so loud, friends. So loud that they make a rule against being too loud in the award and degree ceremony, and I want them to call it the Bure rule. And that is my goal for you. So join us at Imaging USA. It's going to be a really fantastic time. Also, by the way,
like the human kings of old.
The heathen kings.
Heathen kings of old.
Yes.
The religious kings, not so much with the yelling.
Only the heathens. Okay. Yeah. No.
All right.
The religious kings are very, very proper, really tidy
lot. All right. Just making sure.
Yeah. And so, coming up, December 7th, 8th, and 9th, I will be in New Jersey at Unique Photo for the New Jersey Camera Show, and I will be speaking for Canon, three different programs over 3 days. So that's December 7th, 8th, and 9th in Denville, New Jersey? I don't know. I'll put a link to it on the Photobomb podcast page so that you can check it out. If you are anywhere in the New York, New Jersey area, this is a really fantastic show at a really great camera store. It's one of the few great camera stores left. It's great and big, and you can try everything, and there are going to be lots of great speakers and programs and lots of opportunities to shoot with models and all kinds of cool stuff. Get your hands on some of those new cameras that have come out over the last year. And so join me there. I will be speaking at Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Three different programs. One's going to be the Speedlight Studio, how to do studio photographs with speedlights. Second is going to be how to connect with your subject and get great expression. And the third program will be retouching for dum-dums or something like that. It's basically going to be, because I'm a dum-dum. The Unique Photo is the name of the camera store.
Do you know how you take a unique photo?
I don't know. Unique up on it.
Unique up on it.
Yeah, so that's awesome, and Canon is sponsoring that, so I feel like obligated to say that on the podcast. So thank you, Canon USA. Love you guys. That's really awesome. But coming up after that,
you would never say this, but I'm going to say this. When are they just going to make you a Canon Explorer of Light? Canon, he would never say this, and he's going now. No, he's going to disavow. But for the love of God, can we just make Gary a Canon Explorer of Light, please?
Because there are way.
I think we all believe that Gary should be a Canon Explorer of Light. I've met the Canon Explorer of Lights, and believe me, Gary absolutely deserves to be one of them.
I appreciate that. I'm just happy to be part of the team. Doesn't matter. Because, let me tell you, they've done a great job, the Canon Explorers of Light, to make their team look a lot more like what photographers actually look like in the world today.
And so because it used to be, so many of them were like Nat Geo photographers, which they're great, but they don't really relate to much.
Old white dudes, mostly. Yeah. And so... you've got some incredible talent on there. Kelly Brown, Susan Stripling, Michelle Celentano. You know, got some really incredible... they've got such a great lineup on the Explorers of Light, and I'm just a big admirer of all those people. But I appreciate you saying that. But the thing that you really need is now, besides being able to take great photos, is you really need to be have a great big social audience. And I'm really terrible at all that. But besides that, anyway, thanks, Canon. You guys are great. Moving on. Also, join me at WPPI. I have been confirmed as a speaker and a judge for WPPI 2019 in Las Vegas. So if you're going to be there, come see me there. And also at the Virginia PPA convention, which is like the week before Las Vegas, I will be speaking at there doing a one-day workshop and then a regular class during the convention. So all that information is on photobombpodcast.com, and you can find all that stuff where we're going to be speaking and when. So come see us out in the wild. You know, come out there. Why not?
Buy us a drink.
Could be a falcon. You might run into a falcon. I might have a pet falcon by the end of the week. I'm really excited because that guy's hanging around my house a lot.
Sorry, I might have a pet greyhound.
The greyhound and the falcon. Yeah, there you go. Those are good names for us. That's
right.
What we're going to call ourselves from now on.
All right. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/photobombpodcast. You can find us online at photobombpodcast.com. You can find Gary at HughesFioretti.com. You can find me at BooRayPerry.com, and you can send us email at questions@photobombpodcast.com. We'll see you back here next week.
Falcon out. I don't think that works. See you later.
Did not. That was a bad choice.